Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for Growing Hope. I am Katherine Lang, your Rainbows and Lollipops host, here to share a little inspiration and motivation to help grow up hope for life. It's never an easy journey, and the more darkness closes in around me, the more difficult the journey becomes. But hope spreads light and breaks me free from the grips of darkness. And when I share hope, I grow up even more hope in my own life. The world is conspiring. It is a conspiracy. And they're trying to make my life more difficult and your life more difficult. Together, we're going to break through the noise and the chaos of the world so that we can walk out that abundant life that we desire and that we're designed to live. The world does not have control. We have the control. And accountability is going to help me and help you take that next step to make the move, to walk the walk, or maybe sometimes just to get up off the couch and turn off Netflix. Accountability will sometimes make me feel uncomfortable because I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I know it. But accountability will also make me hopeful because I know I can get there. Accountability can convict me of my inactions or wrong choices, but accountability will also support me in turning around the actions and choices that I am making. Now, there's a huge difference between guilt and accountability, and when you realize the difference, then you'll be in a position to embrace the power that comes with accountability. My husband came from a household where his mother dusted and vacuumed every single day. And she also held a full-time job. So he expected things to be clean and orderly according to those standards all the time. Now, I came from a household where that was not so much the standard. I remember straightening my room up once when I was in high school. Once! And my closest friend walked in and looked around and asked when I had gotten carpet in the room. Now, the room had always had carpet. She'd just never seen the floor before. Add to that we have three boys and we live in a place where there is lots of sand. So, my standards were different from his standards. My idea of order and my husband's idea of order collided, and it was not pretty. But I began to learn about different organizational tools and different cleaning schedules. I didn't even know those things existed. I didn't know there's certain times of the year you were supposed to clean the light bulbs. And as I grew my relationship with God, I began to recognize that stuff was not necessary. And I started cleaning out and letting go of things. And that made it so much easier to keep things clean. And this is where guilt tries to sneak in. Once we start getting things going, guilt tries to sneak in. There are times when my husband will walk in, even though I've got the things in order, everything has a home and everything's in its home most of the time. And he'll look at any clutter, even the boxes of crafts or pictures from three generations that I'm just starting to go through. And guilt will say, look what you haven't done. But accountability would say, how can I help you continue moving forward? See, guilt crushes and accountability grows. And finding people that will hold us accountable without trying to crush us with guilt can mean the difference between walking it out and curling up in the corner. Sharing with others can make us stronger in this journey. Just the other day, I was sharing a struggle with some friends, and while I shared, one of them challenged me to come up with one action that would make a difference in that struggle. Just one action. And I did it. And between letting it out because I shared it and coming up with that one action and following through on that action, it did make a difference. Because sharing with others and talking with others helps to maintain the focus that we need to walk out this journey. The people around us, the accountability and encouragement that they offer, can be vital to maintaining the focus I need to get to where I know I want to go. In my own life, we're dealing with an earthly issue that has me tied up in all kinds of knots. It has me all knickered up. It has my knickers tied in knots. How about that? And not a knotted knickered mama is not a pretty sight. I contacted some wise counsel friends of mine and shared with them the edges of the situation. I knew that if I went into the details of the situation, I'd just get mired up in it again. So I just gave them the outliners. I needed to quench the flames of vengeance. I didn't need to fire them up again. And those wise counsel friends gave me words of encouragement and words of the Spirit. And that's what I needed in the moment. I didn't want to find people that would say, take them all out back and show them what a mad mama can really do. I didn't need that kind of encouragement. I needed somebody to help me get back to my foundation, to support me in taking it to a spiritual level and not a physical level. And reaching out to those wise counsel friends helped me unknot my knickers, and I needed that. I was able to continue to deal with the situation, but I dealt with it from a calm place of prayer and wisdom and not from a place of vengeance. So when I'm trying to seek out accountability and get to that place where I'm walking out the way I'm supposed to be walking it out, first, I'm going to release the situation. Two, I'm going to think happy thoughts. Three, I'm going to judge between accountability and guilt. Four, I'm going to maintain 3 points of contact. And five, I'm going to take a time out. These 5 steps help me focus on the more important things. How do you get to that place of focus? For me, finding comfort in accountability requires me to let go of the need to control everything. I had to learn how to release the situation. See, I deal with people. And people, well, let's just say that people are not always prone to cooperating with my way of doing and being. Although I know I have to deal with the situation, I also know that I'm never going to fix people, and especially the people involved with that situation. And it's not my job to fix them. And when I let go of that need to fix them, then I begin to move forward in the situation in the spirit and not in emotions or in feelings. This has been one of the most difficult steps for me to take in my journey because, see, I grew up taking stands. I grew up challenging authority. I grew up fighting for the underdog every time I saw a need to fight, even when it wasn't requested of me. The need still rises up in me, in the flesh part of me, to take on the fight of the underdog. It's taken a lot of prayer and focus to get beyond that flesh, and sometimes I still don't succeed. Now, I'm learning to look at the situation from different perspectives to determine if I should make a fight or if I should just let it go. See, today we're talking about determining whether or not we need to release the situation. I usually know to let go when I've answered just 5 questions. 1, will it cause physical harm to me or my family if I do nothing? There are going to be plenty of things that annoy me, believe me. And there are going to be plenty of things that cause me discomfort or make me uncomfortable. If I spend all of my time and energy on these things, then I won't even have time to sleep, much less do what I'm supposed to be doing. Ironically, I came to understand this with a crystal clear clarity while I was attending a church. A situation came up that made no sense. The leaders did something I didn't like and that I thought was wrong, and it was the wrong choice in my opinion. I knew beyond a reasonable doubt that it wasn't the right choice. The me of high school and college would have considered it a declaration of war. I would have fought and shouted and raised the roof. I would have made some serious noise, and the leaders would have still done what the leaders were going to do. I knew what I wanted to do and what I would have done, but God has been moving me in a different direction, a better direction. I'm learning that when it doesn't cause me or mine physical harm, then I just let God handle it. He's a little better at doing this. It turns out that He's had more experience at doing this than I have. Not everything I face and not every situation that I come upon is for me to handle. Now, the second question I ask myself is this my place? There are times when I'm in a position of leadership or authority and something happens that needs my attention. There are many more times when I am not in the place of leadership or authority and I'm not interested in being in a position of leadership or authority. And it's not my place to fix the problem. Now, I can already hear you telling me that I'm going to let the world go to hell in a handbasket if I don't do something. And I do something. I do what's my place. And I do what I'm designed to do. And I don't try to do the things that are out of my place. And then, if I still think I need to do something and it's not my place, then I move in a way that is in my place. In other words, I stop meddling. It turns out there's a lot more that is not my place than is my place. Which leads me to my third question. How much am I willing to invest in this? See, I learned early on that if I was going to complain about something, then I better be ready to step up and take the reins. If I'm not interested enough to make an investment, then I should just let those that are interested handle it their way. And investing is not about control. It's about putting my efforts behind the words. I have to be willing to walk the walk if I'm going to talk the talk. Otherwise, I should just keep my words to myself. I didn't say it was an easy thing to do, releasing the situation. I've been taught to fight for the little guy, like I said, and to stand my ground and to force the issue. It is God that's leading me down a different path. And that's what the fourth question is all about. Will this bring me closer to God, or will it hinder my walk with Him? Everything I do should be held up to this light, because I have limited resources to invest. And if what I invest in my journey is hindering my relationship with God, then I need to pivot. I need to turn. I need to make a different move. Taking serious stock of the investment, in other words, counting the costs of my actions, allows me to see it from all sides before I move into the fray. When I'm focused in that relationship with God, then I can determine the fuel that is driving the decisions. And the fifth question I ask myself is, am I acting in faith or am I acting in emotion? I think I dislike this question most of all, particularly when someone else points out the obvious. When I want to seek revenge, to cause harm, or to fix someone, it's not because I've gone to God in prayer and contemplation. It's because I'm angry or hurt or frustrated. My emotions have crawled all over me and they are all that really matters in that moment. I choose better when I take a few moments to think about the questions and think about these particular questions and I let the situation cool. I wonder sometimes if that's why Jesus knelt down to write in the dirt, if he was just allowing the heat of the moment to die down so that the heart of the people could begin to direct the actions instead of giving in to the emotional side of things. So often it's the emotions that drive us, and the spirit wants to be the leading force. But I have to breathe and take a moment to make that happen. The quick answer is not often the best answer. And is rarely a good answer at all. I need to take my time. It's with these five questions that I'm learning how to release the situation, to let it go when necessary, or to deal with it in a better way when it is my situation to deal with. But either way, I'm releasing the need to make it fit into my scheme of things. And by releasing it, I'm able to make a better way. Philippians 4:6 has been a foundational scripture for guiding me through the need to stay in control. It reads like this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." The King James translation says to be careful for nothing. In other words, I have to learn to trust that God not only can handle it, but that He will handle it. And that means trusting His timing and His judgment as well. I don't always like this. Sometimes I want to explain to God how it needs to be handled, and I want God to follow my advice. Sometimes I want God to approve of my taking control. I say, "Look, God, I know you've got this, but just this once, can I slap them around for you a little bit?" And for the record, He has yet to grant this request. This scripture also tells me that I need to address everything by prayer. And have you noticed it can be tough to be annoyed at someone when you are praying for that someone? Now, it's not impossible, mind you, but it is tough. And I'm also to address everything by supplication, which is entreating God, or to earnestly and even anxiously to implore God. But that's not even the toughest part. No, the toughest part comes next when it says to do it in thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. That means to bring every situation and every person to God in prayer, entreating God and imploring God with thankfulness and gratitude. 1 Peter 5:7 keeps it going with this declaration: "Cast all of your cares upon God, because God cares for you." It's simple. Give it to God. That's what Peter says. And then Paul explains how we give it to God in the Philippians scripture. I don't have to like it. I just have to be obedient in it. And what's interesting about this whole thing is that even if I don't like it, but I'm obedient in it, it turns out that I begin to like it because I settle into this place of peace and contentment and joy. My husband's favorite verse, very favorite verses from the scripture, is from Proverbs 3:5-6. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." God has this. I have to do what I have to do, but that is all that I have to do. Now, that is not my husband's favorite saying, for the record, but it's so true. I will never figure it all out. And the best thing is that I'm not supposed to figure it all out. I'm not supposed to figure it out, and I'm not supposed to fix it all. That should be a relief. But for some reason, we want to take control and take back the stress and the worry that comes with that control. Before I jump in and I try to fix it, I need to ask myself these questions. Will this cause me physical harm? Is this my place? How much am I willing to invest in it? Does it draw me closer to God, or does it draw me away from Him? Is my reactions or my need or my choice based on faith, or is it based in emotions? See, emotions are going to try to take over. Pride can step to the front of the line like that. There are dozens of things that can stir me up and knock me out of alignment with God's design for my life. And His design is a design of peace and calm. If I truly want to live out a life of accountability, in accountability, a life where I release the situation and I think happy thoughts and I judge between accountability and guilt, and I maintain the 3 points of contact that keep me focused on God, and I take the time that I need to take to get to where I need to be, well, that life of accountability is a life of peace. But it all begins with letting go. I have to release the situation. That's the first step to getting to the place that I not only need to be, but I know that I'm supposed to be. By releasing the situations that are not mine, I reserve the resources necessary to handle those that are mine. Thank you so much for joining me for Growing Hope. I am Catherine Lang, and thank you for joining me in this journey to live out and walk out the accountable life. It means more than I can express that you're joining me. You're holding me accountable. You're encouraging me to be more than I thought possible and to live out in a bold way that life I so desire. I look forward to connecting with you more along the way. Look for me on social media, Catherine C. Lang, or come by and visit the website, www.catherinelang.com. Take a moment to think about the situations you're facing and determine if you will have more to invest in your journey if you just let them go. Until next time, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelang.com. That's www.catherinelang.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.